Because of listeners like you, Preborn has helped to rescue over 67,000 babies. Your $28 to sponsor one ultrasound doubled a baby's chance at life. Your tax-deductible gift saves lives. Please join us in this mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.
I'm very concerned about the current young adult Christian fiction genre. I read or started reading over 24 Christian YA novels. Many never mentioned Jesus, and many had empty or confusing Christian allegories. How can we offer our children real hope when we are simply repackaging what the world offers? Let's look to our Creator God to help us write better stories. Find the full article, Read 'em and Weep, by me, Joy Lucius, on thestand.net.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Good morning. It is Thursday, July 24th, and a D&I Tulsi Gabbard has just continued to masterfully lay out why every step in Obama's Russia collusion hoax is just absolutely worth the American people being incredibly upset over, and we want to know the truth. And she did a briefing from the White House press room yesterday, and that's posted at Rapid Response 47, which of course is the Trump administration's X account that posts a lot of things, and also of course the White House posts all of this, and I'm sure that you can find it on other channels, but you can watch it there if you'd like to. But there are four pieces of evidence basically that this boiled down to, which the Russia collusion narrative was based on, and these were all bogus according to this report. And so Matt Taibbi, who you might remember as one of these journalists who did extensive who does extensive reporting on a lot of things, he was one who initially dropped the Twitter files, remember that from back in the day, and that was kind of when he first rose to prominence, at least mainstream for a lot of us who followed that. He posted a thread that said in part this, that the official claim that Putin aspired, quote unquote, to help Trump was based on four pieces of evidence, all bogus, even quote unquote ridiculous, according to a long suppressed report just released by DNI Tulsi Gabbard. One was the Steele dossier, which we're all familiar with. The surprise is that the other three were even less credible. Each included over objections of the report's CIA authors. The first item was a scant, unclear, and unverifiable fragment, quote unquote, of one sentence that the report's five CIA authors read, quote, five ways and initially left out, only to have Director John Brennan order it back in. The second item was an email with no date, no identified sender, no clear recipient, and no classification. The third was supposedly backed by a liaison or a diplomat, and press reporting as well as signals intelligence, except it didn't mention Trump, and the quote-unquote liaison reporting didn't mention Trump and was from 2014, and the diplomatic and media reporting was a post-election review by a U.S. ambassador citing a Russian pundit who said Putin and Trump should, quote, work together like businessmen. So this was the evidence, supposedly, that Putin developed a clear preference for Trump and interfered in the 2016 election. So all three reports weren't just unsourced and unreliable, but discarded fictions pulled out of the CIA's trash heap. This is according to Matt Taibbi. And they manipulated the manipulations, which was how the ODNI Deputy Chief of Staff characterized it. So what really happens now? Well, let's welcome in our good friend Steve Dace, who is the host of the Steve Dace Show. And he did an entire show yesterday, as did I yesterday. We've all been talking about this. And Steve, your premise is that we've got to have accountability here. Otherwise, we may not continue to have America as we know it. Good morning.
Good morning, Jenna. Well, you know, we live in a duopoly politically. And that, you know, yes, there is a uniparty reality particularly if you've been in Washington, D.C. But most Americans don't live in the capital, to quote the Hunger Games. They live in the outlying districts. And so most Americans, when they take part in the political process, particularly if they're regulars in the political process, right? They're regular participants. They view these two parties as vehicles for value systems, rightly or wrongly. And politics, you know, the purpose of politics in America is how we avoid fighting civil wars. Our founders gave us this process so that we would battle this out at the ballot box rather than in the streets, which has happened in every single other previous civilization, including Western ones, by the way, prior to the founding of this country. This is how these disputes were settled, in the streets, in the villages, in the valley, and via warfare, ultimately. And so that's the purpose of it. But the essence of politics is it's faith and ethics in action. And most Americans, when they actively take part in this process, that is what they think they are voting for. And so when you have that level of duopoly in any endeavor, industrial, relational, but political, you have one of two realities. You have mutually assured destruction, or you have tyranny. And the reality is, you have one. If you don't have one, I mean, in many respects, a marriage is a covenant, but it can behave as a duopoly. And if someone's fear of God doesn't stop them from acting in a way that would cost them the marriage, then their fear of the consequences of doing so. If I get caught like the astronomer CEO on the Kiss Cam last week, mm-hmm. right? If I embarrass myself, if I act out, if I don't control my anger and cause an event that would bring the police and the media to my home, right? This is mutual assured destruction. And so you're looking constantly for ways to rein in human nature. As the audience to AFA would know uniquely, human nature is not basically good. We're sinners. And this is a fallen creation, and all of it groans as a result of our fall and our sin. And so we need to create, you know, mechanisms that rein in human nature while at the same time don't give too much power to human beings to do the reining in. That's the uniqueness of our system, the idea of a limited government, not a small government, not a big government, limited. Limited to what? Limited precisely to the things that the Word of God has revealed, both in Scripture and throughout history. Is what's the proper functions of government to protect God-given rights, for example, okay? And so we're way out of balance with this in our era right now. We all just lived through a summer where the Democratic Party tried to take our presumptive nominee and put him in prison for 94 years or the rest of his life over the allegation that he may not have disclosed $130,000 hush payment to a porn star 20 years ago, a decade before he ran for office. And for that reason, everything had to stop. An entire presidential primary election had to be canceled. There could be no campaigning, no events. The entire campaign took place outside of a New York courtroom. Everything had to stop. That was all the headlines. All we saw last summer was this. All right. They frog marched him. They perp walked him for something like this. What you're going to see is a lot of people on our side are going to now say, if they can do that to a former president over that, why can't we do that over something like this? Because what is something like this? Everything you just laid out, what did it set into motion? It basically stillborned much of Trump's presidency in his first term. The entire first 3 years, all of 2017, all of 2018, and until Bill Barr did the one thing that actually justified his position in March of 2019. I don't have to tell this to you. You lived this, okay? This was your life at the time. But the audience needs a refresher. Until Bill Barr was brought in and shut this thing down called the Mueller probe, we watched Robert Mueller, who prior to the election of Trump might have been the most respected federal law enforcement official in American history, just completely and totally discredit himself in his last act of public service. That probe became nothing but a leakocracy for enemy media to just have a consistent content stream day after day after day for 2.5 years. It led to an impeachment. I mean, we saw people use national security clearances like John Brennan to go on TV and to say day after day after day after day, night after night, things that they knew all along were lies. It's hard enough being president of the United States, and particularly of an outsider like Trump, who's trying to put together a staff on the fly and is making hires like Anthony Scaramucci and Omarosa. It's a hard enough job, especially with a guy who doesn't have the political connections to field an entire administration like a typical insider would, on top of what went on here from the outside. And every major media entity in America completely and totally just discredited itself. Every corporate media entity, I should say, every vestige of the intelligence community just completely and totally discredited itself. And the coup de grace, of course, was the dozens of them or the hundreds of them that signed the letter that the Hunter Biden laptop wasn't real. I mean, people's lives, stop and think about the fact, if that doesn't happen, Jenna, let me make this really granular to people. If that never happened, there are people today who are dead because Joe Biden got elected and opened the border and allowed the largest invasion of our homeland in American history. How much fentanyl got into this border? Whose son overdosed and is dead? Who'd be alive today if it weren't for that election? And with the result that was as a result of what they did for the previous few years through this Russia collusion hoax. Who's dead today? Whose mom? Whose mom isn't coming home from work as a nurse today because she was forced to take that dreaded jab to work at a major clinic by the Biden administration with its order that lasted for 6 months until the Supreme Court got rid of it? These are decisions that have real life consequences, life and death. I mean, whose business collapsed because of the economic decisions that Ukraine first, and that led to that put so much hardship on their marriage, it broke their family up, and now they're looking at a generation of dysfunction that they've got to figure out and they've passed down to the kids and grandkids. See, these things have consequences. They're not games. I know much of the way we cover it, it's the horse race aspect of it. And, people want to, and our people too, almost want to discuss this and cover it like it's sports talk radio. I always tell people that's where I started out. And really, I don't do much of a different show. If I didn't inject the biblical worldview, I'd just do the same show I used to do, which is, instead of just the home team versus the away team, it's Republicans versus Democrats. Without the biblical worldview, that's essentially the reductionism we've done with many of our politics. But aside from that, there are real world consequences to the decisions that get made. The amount of censorship that this last administration was permitted to do. Who died because they didn't get life-saving medical information? Because people like me and shows like me that were leading the charge against the scamdemic were being absolutely just completely squashed and censored by YouTube at the direction of the White House. See, that stuff builds up over time. And when people then see there is a literal smoking gun, direct link of evidence of what the true origin of this is and where it really came from, and then nothing happens, and we're just going to talk about it, and we're going to engagement farm off it, and Grifturd 14 is going to get another 10-15K next month to tweet about it. But there's no frog march, no perp walk, no consequences. The Biden administration imposed a poison, no consequences. Censored information that would have gotten healthy medical information out to people, took people like my friend Dr. Peter McCullough, maybe the greatest cardiologist this country's ever produced in its history, and just absolutely just smeared and assassinated him so that they could inject remdesivir into people instead, and their kidneys failed. No consequences? Nothing. The president said something last week I'm really upset by, frankly. When he was asked about the assassination attempt. And Ron Johns was just on my show 2 days ago saying he has to subpoena Kash Patel. He can't get information as the head of the Senate Select Committee looking into it of the majority party. And it's his. He has to subpoena Kash Patel because they won't disclose information to the Senate on Thomas Matthew Crooks, let alone to the rest of us. And the president said, well, they came to me and they told me, what they know and what happened. and I'm satisfied. Listen, they should come to him first. He was the guy shot in the face. But with all due respect to you, sir, this isn't about you solely. This is about us. Because if you don't turn your head there, the last 12 months of this country might look a lot different, might look a lot like the stuff out of history books. And you'd be dead, and we'd be the ones living with the sadly, and we'd even be, and we'd be the ones just as sadly living with the consequences of this, existential consequences. So no, it's not good that they came to you, told you. No, they need to tell us, all right? It's not just that they shot Donald Trump. It's that they tried to kill our nominee, okay? Whether their name is Donald Trump, Jenna Ellis, Steve Dace, or your mom, they tried to do that in broad daylight. We're going to need more than that. Lots of people are going to need more than that. And if you reach a point sooner or later where people lose faith in a justice system and they think that it is just a system. And when that happens, and one side has continually been put down and put down and put down and put down and put down, and the other side gets away with literally whatever the Sam hell it wants, sooner or later, the side that owns the 300 million guns in their home that just continually gets sent a message, you know, law for me, but not for thee. History books are written about moments like this. And so we have a, you know, whatever the precipice of our culture war is, that before this becomes a zero-sum game. What's a zero-sum game? Exactly what you fear it is. Well, so whatever the level of culture war we're at, before this becomes a zero-sum game, we're at the level right before that precipice is crossed. And, you know, there was a YouGov poll that came out this week, actually a couple different polls I saw, and who knows how accurate these are. But given the things that are being said by Joe Rogan, Andrew Schultz, and others who are kind of the Walter Cronkite for this generation, and they show, Jenna, that young men are already beginning to lose faith in the Trump administration after they flocked to it in this last election. And we can all see why. It's the stuff that we're talking about right here. See, they're not bought into the political process in the way that we are. They're not completely beholden to it that Republicans have to win no matter what. If anything, they supported Trump because they thought he was something more than a Republican, different than a typical Republican they never wanted to vote for in the past. They're still making their way in the world. So, you know, the stock market's of no relevance to them. They don't believe they're getting any retirement money out of that ever, no matter what anyway. And frankly, they're pretty embittered that they're being asked to pay for other people's retirement via the stock market and the taxes taken out of their check. And it's because of this. It's because of the lack of disclosure, whatever the clown show Pam Bondi's been running for 6 months on Jeffrey Epstein, starting with those ridiculous binders and discrediting a bunch of our, you know, most popular influencers, okay? And see, this is the stuff. They want a paradigm shift. They want more than a border secure, which is great. They want the 20 million people Biden let in thrown out. They want more than that. They want more than, well, the economy is going to grow at 3%. They want to know how in the world can they just get within 150 yards of a candidate and just shoot him in broad daylight. And not a single Secret Service agent gets fired or goes to prison for this. How is that possible? And this is the kind of stuff, because it's very clear also on this long-winded answer, so forgive me. I'll wrap with this. It's very clear, given the timing of this, that this was meant to redirect the negative energy that was surrounding the White House over the Epstein canard, and put it and provide it a high-value target for exposure, which is good. That was smart, good, and this is a pretty high-value target. But you can't yank people's chains on Epstein for 6 months, then hand them an even bigger name, Barack Obama. If Donald Trump is not the formative political figure in this world of the 21st century, Barack Obama is. You cannot hand them that level of target and then say 6 months from now, here was our report from our judicial task force at the DOJ. And, you know, here's your talking points and here's your engagements. And, you know, you guys can all, you know, give everybody the salacious details, and remember to vote Republican in the midterms next year. We're way past that stuff now, and there has to be accountability. I mean, they're throwing our people in prison. I listened to the news update right before I came on from your network. Woman being told what she can and cannot write with her own God-given proprietary gifts as a creative writer. How about if you're a florist? How about if you're a baker? How about if you want to pray in front of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Nashville, Tennessee? Prison. Right? So this stuff is just time for consequences. If we do not show the left that there is a mutual assured destruction factor, one of the main reasons Reagan built up our arms in the 1980s is because the U.S. looked so weak coming out of the counterculture and throughout the 70s that the crazies in the Kremlin were beginning to think they could actually win a nuclear war with the first strike. And Reagan needed to show them, you need to understand no one wins a nuclear war. And the only way, as the movie War Games said, the only way to win the game is not to play. Do not hit the button. You won't win. We'll have to hit back. And then there won't be a thing called humanity left when this is over. All right? And we need to restore that balance. We need to show them, you cannot do this to our people. You cannot do this to our politicians. We will do the same to you, if not worse. And then they'll get the message, and we'll go back to having political fights the way we used to, with words and not with prosecutors, okay? And not with Mar-a-Lago raids. But if they don't do that, then the other side's not going to stop themselves. And sooner or later, when our side figures out, well, the people on our side aren't going to stop them. So I guess it's up to me, Jenna. There has never been a mass peaceable transfer of property, prosperity, in all of human history. No society has just stood up and said, we will give our wealth and property to another sector of society voluntarily. Never happened. And I can tell you, Jenna, it never will.
Well, you know, Steve, I love listening to your rants almost as much as I love ranting myself. So thank you for that, I think, brilliant explanation of how regular Americans, all of us, are all feeling, because we all feel the injustice of the last 10 years on both sides. And my problem here, and there's you know, so many different ways I could go with this after what you just said, but my problem with this is that so many people are saying, and I think rightly so, that generally the federal government has about a 5-year statute of limitations on a lot of this. And so I don't think we're going to get a lot, if any, accountability here. I think that what you said, that this was kind of a shift in a PR focus that came at a good time from all of the Epstein stuff to an even bigger name. If there's not accountability and there's not some actual indictments, not just a report from the DOJ, and then, you know, here's the House committee's report on their investigation, and maybe the end result is modifying legislation to say that the statute of limitations is going to be extended, and that's their recommendation, and, you know, maybe we'll do that in 10 to 20 years for the next, you know, treasonous debacle. That's where we can probably, frankly, anticipate this going. Then at what point do we just say, we have ranted enough, we have been so frustrated enough, and we don't actually believe the next thing in the media? Who do we blame, actually, for the first Trump administration not doing this sooner, not within the statute of limitations? Who do we blame for saying that there is never accountability, that we don't have the same
people,
type?
The people that carry Trump's brand after he is gone will carry the blame.
But do you think that'll actually affect 2028?
I do. I absolutely do. Because, you know, I said after we won the election, Jen, I think I probably told you this. I said this on my show many times. The only thing that's going to be harder now than putting the coalition together that was capable of winning this last election is keeping it together now that we won it. And you have to understand, when you're bringing in the 1, 2 to 3% of the electorate that RFK Jr. represented, which is probably how we won the popular vote, okay? Again, you have to think the way that they think about the political process, not the way that we do. And assume that they're going to think the way that we do, and that we've kind of bought into, whether we're right or we're wrong, the lesser of two evils, this is the duopoly. No matter how bad Republicans betray us and let us down, they have to win because the Democrats are just so bad. See, they're not bought into any of that stuff. And we're undergoing, just like the whole debate you're seeing about dispensationalism right now, we talked about the last time I was on, right? Mm-hmm. We have a new generation. Boomers are dying out. They're being replaced by a new generation, way more cynical, They didn't start out their rebellion with utopian flower power, thinking they were going to buy the world a Coke and and make the world a better place. They're starting out thinking their grandparents are handing them hundreds of billions of dollars of debt before they ever go to work. I mean, I just see it in my own son, okay? My own son is to the right of me collectively in our conversations because he's angry. Because he's like, I want to get married. I want to have a family. I want to buy a house. This is the environment.
Mm-hmm.
He's out there for the first time in the workforce that he just graduated, realizing he's going to have to make 30, 35 grand a year to have a decent apartment and live anything close to, you know, and live in anything close to a nice neighborhood in Iowa as a single guy, not even yet 20. The anger and bitterness of the upcoming generation is we are not prepared for this. It is the antithesis of the boomer generation's utopianism that they were going to fix the planet. The next generation thinks, the one replacing them thinks the thing's irredeemably broken, and they're mad, really mad, particularly the ones on our side. And the idea that they're just going to sit there and say, well, hey, you know, he promised us that we were going to disrupt this process and put people in prison and lock her up. Ha, 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 funny talking point. Ha, 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 ha. No. They'll just drop out and we'll lose those votes. I mean, if nothing happens as a result of this, he better have a dot-com boom level economy at this time next year. We're going to lose 40 House seats. Why do you think they're panicking all over the Republican Party to do rare census reviews of the trying to come up with this as positive of a map as absolutely possible? Because we're sitting here and we're approaching August, and whatever you think about Alina Habba and whether she should have been the U.S. District Attorney, she can't even get a vote. She can't even get a vote. All right, there. How many dozens, hundreds of Trump appointees just sitting there in the U.S. Senate? They're going to break until Labor Day, because apparently there's just nothing going on at all that needs our attention here. Again, this is a different generation than what we're used to dealing with. They're not watching Fox News, where they're just getting the white pill every night, okay, for the geriatrics. A different generation is replacing them, and they're angry. And if that anger doesn't go somewhere, they're going to point it at us. Because we did worse, and to them, we did worse than the Democrats. We promised them that we heard their anger. We went to them and said, like Bill Clinton, I'll feel your pain. And then we did nothing. Mike Johnson shuts the House down so he doesn't have to have a vote on releasing any Epstein files. They're watching that stuff. And they're not getting their news, even in many cases, not even getting their news from people like you and me. They're getting it from Rogan. They're getting it from Andrew Schultz.
Which right there is concerning, Steve, because if they're not getting it from people like you and me, then where exactly are they channeling their anger when people like Joe Rogan may be saying those things and saying, you know, what the good American dream should be, but is definitely not coming from a biblical worldview perspective or having this sort of, I mean, and I like Joe Rogan, but you know, he's simply not teaching the next generation to come back to foundational principles. And this is my concern where we're losing the next generation is because they're angry,
100%.
But they're not focused on principle, winning.
That's our fault too.
The church, absolutely.
The church decided Hawaiian shirted purpose-driven lives were better. Building mass monasteries in the suburbs that are multi-acreages that sit and are silent at 1 o'clock on Tuesday while the drag queen story time hours happen at the public library across the street was actually preferable to then equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. See, they've inherited all of this, and they're mad. And they flocked to us in this last election because they thought maybe there is one more, especially they watched the guy get shot in the face. And they thought maybe after something like that. Then they saw how good his messaging was. Then they saw him come to them on their platforms and connect with them and resonate with them. And they thought, okay, maybe a guy who truly is from outside the system that the system literally tried to first bankrupt, then when they took all of his business opportunities away, then they tried to put him in prison, then they tried to kill him. If maybe this is the guy then that can actually turn over some money changers in the temple. If we're not going to do that, you're going to lose those folks. And there'll be mass political consequences for that moving forward, starting with the next midterm election.
So we have to say,
kind of Reagan
take a break in just a second, but let me ask you this last question then, Steve. If that's true, and I think that it is, and the kind of last, you know, faith effort of like, we've got to turn this country around. And you and I were saying this even, you know, leading up to the 2024 election, that if somebody like Kamala Harris gets in, you know, this is a bridge too far. We're just careening off the cliff. America, you know, will be different as we know it, all of that stuff. And the point was to get to have a second chance. And we have. That was largely not because of, I mean, look, you're just looking at the voting. That was largely because of the boomers who saved the election, not the next generation.
No, Trump didn't win boomers. Trump won one generation in the last election, ours, Gen X. He actually lost ground with boomers.
Yes, Gen X, you're right,
election.
Not boomers. It was Gen X, but it wasn't, it was not the young generation. It wasn't Gen Z. It wasn't, you know, the younger millennials. So where do we go then for 2028 with a candidate who will appeal enough when we don't have the same voting block, and when the young people are going to be the largest voting block and running the country in terms of the elections? And if they are not satisfied, and I think you're right that they aren't, with Trump, and they're angry and they're doing all of this, who then possibly after Trump is a candidate that makes them stay in and isn't somebody that is going to be, in a sense, even more of a godless populist?
Not sure that even exists. They're not really definitely, they're not, the language Ron DeSantis speaks, which is the native tongue you and I grew up with, you know, out of the, you know, Milton Friedman School of Economics, the Ronald Reagan School of Foreign Policy, and, you know, the Heritage Foundation School of Morals and Ethics. That's just not anything they are steeped in, whatsoever. The closest they would get to something like that would be Tim Kast. Okay. I mean, they've heard of that stuff, but they just don't know it. They're instinctive. They're not formative. They're instinctive. And so what you're largely looking at then, you know, and Mitt Romney got 4 million fewer white voters than John McCain did in 2012. Mitt Romney will go down as the only Republican that ever won independence and then still lost a presidential election. I mean, he just massively depressed his own base. And you're looking at something like that, where the inroads and gains we made with this group. I mean, Trump had a plus 11 favorable with this group in February. He's had a 40-point swing against him on favorables with this generation in the last 5 months. And I think that's such a quick turnaround, too. It demonstrates the lack of patience. Demonstrates the lack of investment in the system, okay? And I think that right now there's no place for those people gravitationally to go to. And I think that the best cure for this, frankly, is for the Trump administration to get as aggressive against the deep state as it is against our foreign adversaries in the global trade market.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I think that's actually the best solution. Start treating Democrats the way that you treat the Japs when you're at the trade negotiating table. I think that's the best solution.
And we got to take a break here, but Steve, you know, so much more to talk about, and I think this is, as always, a sobering conversation, because we have to look forward and say, okay, if there is this kind of disillusionment with the next generation, and even though we also have some hope, because at least they're returning to church, but is church teaching them what it should? And, you know, we have all of these conversations, then we have to look forward to 2028, but we have to get the path set now. And I think this is a much bigger story overall in terms of the implications of where the country goes in the next generation than just the PR play and what we're finding out with the DNI report. So Steve Dace, always appreciate it. And we'll be right back with more here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Together, you and I have much to celebrate. Last year, because of your caring help, Preborn rescued over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, I'm Dan Steiner, president of Preborn, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000. Little babies are taking their first breath now because of your caring help. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to one woman as she was deciding about the future of her baby. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard their sweet baby's heartbeat, the chance of that child living doubled. And Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Jesus Christ. Last year, we saw 8,900 women receive Christ as Savior. Your help is crucial to continue our life-saving work.
Your caring tax-deductible gift saves lives. To learn more or donate, visit preborn.com/AFR or dial #250 and say the keyword baby.
Well, we are back. That was a quicker break than we anticipated, but our next guest is already ready, which is great. Orrin McIntyre, who is a host at The Blaze. And he also has an article. I mean, because everybody, of course, is talking about the Obama-Russia collusion hoax and the DNI report that Tulsi Gabbard has put out and her press conference. And so the headline here from Orrin is, if no one goes to jail, the coup was a success. We've seen the playbook: leak, lie, indict, and walk without a reckoning. This becomes the new normal for every election to come. And so, Orrin, you know, I was talking with Steve Dace in the last segment, which was, we could have talked for another several hours on this, frankly. And I think that he's right overall in saying that everybody is so sick and tired in this country. Anybody who has any semblance of justice and a desire for moral uprightness in this country wants to see a reckoning, not just because this is, you know, Obama versus Trump or Republicans versus Democrat, you know, any of that. It's literally a right versus wrong. And do we have justice in this country? Do we have a government that is actually run for the people and by the people and of the people and all of these, you know, wonderful things that we said at the founding? We need a reckoning just so that we aren't continuing to be so disillusioned that we think, okay, this is never going to happen. The promise that continues to be extended and then never fulfilled is, as the Bible would call it, it's making, you know, the heart sick. It's just, you're so frustrated that nothing ever comes of these types of promises. So, and yet I'm not sitting here today as of, and I could be wrong, but as of July 24th, 2025, I don't see that we're actually going to get what justice itself objectively would require in this instance. So what actually happens without a reckoning?
Well, that's the huge issue, right? We're getting these revelations, and the revelations are nice. Don't get me wrong. We all are glad to hear that we weren't crazy, that there was this conspiracy, that this was something that actually happened, that the elites of the United States did conspire and create this Russiagate hoax to derail the presidency of Donald Trump. It's nice to have the smoking gun. But how many revelations in a row can we have without accountability, right? We learn that actually the 2016 presidential election is basically completely derailed because they create this giant conspiracy theory. They fabricate intelligence. We find out that the whole thing is set up by the outgoing administration to wreck the incoming administration. Then we know that after this, there's a whole cascade effect, right? We end up with Fauci in charge of the country, basically, during the COVID lockdowns. He pays no price for the cover-ups. He pays no price for the fact that we were lied to over this. Then we know that Joe Biden is in charge of the country, but he's not actually in charge of the country. The auto pin is in charge of the country. There's a cabal of people who are actually running the White House. We still don't know what happened there. No one goes to jail. Nobody pays a price. Then we know that the same people try to substitute Kamala Harris when it becomes clear that Joe Biden is completely checked out
and is not actually in charge. There's no election. Nobody votes for her. There is no primary process. She circumvents the whole thing. If it hadn't been for her being the most unlikable human being in the world and someone literally taking a shot at Donald Trump, she might be the president of the United States. And so time after time after time, we see the elites manipulating the American people and not being held to account. And everyone is concerned, despite this revelation, that ultimately we will not receive justice, that these people will not pay a price for what they've done. And this is the problem. People are cynical. They're looking at this and saying, yet another time, I get this huge revelation, but will anyone finally go to jail? Will anyone finally pay a price?
Yeah, and who do we turn to for that if this didn't happen in the first Trump administration? There's a federal statute of limitations that, you know, may or may not be applicable here, but a lot of legal analysts are saying that likely that is at least in play. And there's a great article, by the way, for listeners in the Washington Examiner as well, that's titled "Statute of Limitations Likely Restricts DOJ's Ability to Prosecute Obama Officials Over the 2016 Russia Scandal." So whose fault is it, really, that we don't get accountability? I mean, I'm looking to the people currently in government, that if they're giving us all of these promises and then they're not fulfilling, I mean, where do we go for justice?
Well, and again, it really is about the spinelessness of the GOP, right? That when the Democrats wanted to eliminate Trump, they came up with anything and everything. They used the 14th Amendment to try to disqualify him from running. They created novel persecutions inside of New York law to try to figure it out. They were not hindered by the statute of limitations. They came up with something new. They came up with something different. The Republicans have a real crime here. They don't need to manufacture anything. These things really happen. There is surely some way that someone can be held accountable for the fact that there was a coup, that this was treasonous behavior, and yet somehow there's just nothing we can do. There's no way that this can be prosecuted. I'm sorry, I just don't believe that for a moment. If it doesn't get prosecuted, it's due to a lack of will, not due to a lack of legal allowance. Like, it's just insane. You cannot allow these people to get away with this. I don't care what the statute of limitations is. These people rigged an election. They undermined a presidency. That cannot stand. You need to find a way. Someone committed perjury. Somewhere, someone did that. Like, there has to be a charge. The idea that you can't find one is just insane.
Well, and I think you're right. When you look at the difference between how the left approaches lawfare and how which is, of course, you know, the definition of just throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks, and even making up, you know, some of these ridiculously manufactured crimes, like what Trump was prosecuted for in New York with 34 felonies that were well past the statute of limitations. I mean, Alvin Bragg, the, you know, legal genius that he is, somehow figured out how to shoehorn in a federal charge to the state level thing that then shoehorned it in to get it past the statute of limitations, and, you know, and whether or not that would have ultimately stuck on appeal and all of this, the point was the process itself was playing out. And Republicans, meanwhile, they don't even take a crack at the bat. They won't even step up to the plate. Because they say, oh, well, you know, we follow law and order, and we want to make sure that we never over-prosecute anyone. And, you know, and those principles are all well and good. I mean, I'm for that. I'm for law and order and respecting the law. But when you're not even willing to step up and say, is there a way that we can have at least a semblance of a legally viable argument to go after people for and not just because it's lawfare, but for actual genuine crimes that have evidence that in any other context, I mean, if the Democrats had this, they would be out there convening grand juries, you know, the day one that Trump took office. And so the point, I think, is that Democrats are willing to go after lawfare and figure out a way to prosecute things that aren't even crimes and go after the person, and Republicans aren't even willing to figure out how to prosecute actual crimes.
Right. Like, this isn't, so they don't have to make things up out of thin air. We know crimes were committed. We know they violated the law. We know that they lied. We know that they manipulated an election. We know that they used this to ultimately open the borders and let in 8+ million people to rig elections going forward. All of this is clear. All of it's on the table. You don't need to make anything up. You're not manufacturing charges so that you can, you know, create some kind of totalitarian state. You're just putting people in jail because they actually manipulated everyone and broke the law and destroyed the American electoral system. And we have to remember, the Democrats will do all of this the minute they get back into office. They will absolutely do all of this again if they pay no price. Republicans are constantly clutching their pearls. Oh, what kind of precedent are we setting? Oh, what if the shoe will be on the other foot? The shoe's already been on the other foot. They put pro-life protesters in jail. They locked January 6 protesters in jail for years who didn't even step in the building. They put Steve Bannon in jail. They tried to put Douglas Mackey in jail for making a meme on the internet. That's who these people are. Okay, they will throw you in jail the minute they're back in power unless they know there's some kind of cost for the behavior that they've had. In game theory, you have a very simple strategy. It's called tit for tat. If you want equilibrium in a system, you make sure that someone feels a response when they betray you, when they break the rules. If you don't do that, then they're going to turn around and do it again. And everybody who's ever dealt with a schoolyard bully knows this. Yeah, you can maybe let one or two things go, but if you let someone continuously walk onto the playground and punch you in the face, they're not going to stop until they get hit back. If you do not have a single prosecution of a Democrat for rigging an election, for using intelligence services to attack their political opponents, they will just do it again. Why wouldn't they?
And we got to take one more break here, but Orrin McIntyre, my guest this morning, who's at The Blaze, is sticking around through this break, and we're going to continue to talk about, and you can go to break, you can go ahead and go to break, and we're going to continue to talk about this issue, and where is the accountability, where we go from here. So we'll be right back with more here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. And Orrin McIntyre from The Blaze is here talking about the lack of accountability. And if we do not have it with Russiagate, the headline here is, if no one goes to jail, the coup was a success. We've seen the playbook. Leak, lie, indict, and walk without a reckoning. This becomes the new normal for every election to come. And Orrin, I think it already is. And so the next election to come, the presidential one at least, is 2028. But we have the midterms, of course, before that. Which I think is actually important to talk about both of those, because as Steve Dace was talking about in the first segment, there are a lot of people who've been very invested in politics for a long time who are getting frustrated, disillusioned. But the people that are even new to all of this, that Trump has brought in because of the MAGA brand, and who voted for him saying, you know, this is finally somebody that's going to shake up and disrupt Washington. If that doesn't happen, then a lot of them are out. They're just saying, okay, you know, then why even bother with this? And I am concerned genuinely that that the House and the Senate are going to be lost from, you know, conservatives in the midterms. And what does that bode for 2028 in terms of selecting somebody who can follow Donald Trump, that would get enough of the popularity that he has that could actually overcome the other side that wants to destroy this country? I mean, where do we go from here for the next two elections?
Well, exactly. And you know, a lot of what Donald Trump was elected to do was hold our ruling elite accountable. And I think this is why the Trump administration was so shocked when people had the backlash they did over the Epstein files. They didn't understand why. And the reason is not just what Jeffrey Epstein did or even the conspiracy many people think are involved, but ultimately the reason people cared so much about the Epstein files is they represented a elite class that could get away with anything. People felt like that no one is holding anyone accountable. And so what we see here again with the Russiagate conspiracy is another set of elites who may not be held accountable. And what people ultimately want to see is Donald Trump holding these feet to the fire. Now, he started out strongly by getting rid of a number of superfluous government departments that didn't need to exist, that were only really there to bribe a bunch of people to believe in progressivism and leftism. That's the kind of thing that people wanted to see. They wanted to see more of that, more of these parasitic elites being cleansed off of the body politic. But you have to continue. And when people expect deportations, when they expect to see bad actors held accountable, and then they watch people walk, they start to lose faith in the idea that Republicans can do what they promised, that Donald Trump ultimately can do what he promised. You have to win those people back by being effective at dismantling the system you told them you would dismantle.
So how effective do you think he's been? Because, you know, the White House just Monday put out the, you know, 6 months of Trump, and here's all of the wins. Do the wins, which have been significant, and they've been a lot, I mean, obviously far better for America than a Kamala Harris administration and the Biden administration that was, are those wins enough moving forward to outweigh the frustration?
Well, I would say the biggest win, and the one that I don't think the Trump administration gets enough credit for, is the lowered border entries. We're down to some of the lowest numbers that we've seen, I think, since the 1960s. That is a radical change. Joe Biden was letting in 8 million plus people during his term, and now we're seeing rock bottom numbers. That is a huge issue, and that's a big win for Donald Trump. We've also seen some of the major cuts for USAID. We've seen things like birthright citizenship get challenged, but these are still in process, right? And so those aren't codified wins yet, ultimately. So we're heading in the right direction, but I think for most people, the question is one of velocity. Yes, it's only been 6 or 7 months, ultimately, of Trump being in office, but at some point, especially as you head towards the midterms, you need the receipts. Here's what I've done. Here's what I'm accomplishing. There are a lot of big, momentous wins early on, but people are going to think about, what have you done for me lately? And so Trump has to continue to deliver. I hope, you know, we hear them talk about, we're going to refer Barack Obama for prosecution. It's nice to hear. But I think at this point, people are rightly hesitant to say, will this actually turn into anything? If Donald Trump can get the deportations going, if he can get big wins, right, then I think it is something that can be a total victory. But he has to continue to deliver.
Yeah, deliver, not just promise. And, you know, it can't be the administration that cried wolf, basically. So, Orrin McIntyre, really appreciate your commentary. Thanks for staying through the break. And again, his Blaze Media articles, If No One Goes to Jail, The Coup is a Success. You can follow him at Orrin McIntyre on X. And as always, you can reach me and my team, Jenna at AFR.net.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Preborn's whole mission is to rescue babies from abortion and lead their families to Christ. Last year, Preborn's network of clinics saw 8,900 mothers come to Christ. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.